Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
HD Smartcast. You are listening to a Radio 1 production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
So let's step forward together. Ka hoake tono tato. Let's keep moving.
I cherish the idea of a new South Africa.
Will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream.
Aight, listen, why do we need politics? This question seems like $1 million, but isn't really. We need politics for two simple reasons. One, we're the future and we need to represent ourselves and the country in a better light. And two, because it's fun, it's interesting, and it's important. This is Aniket and I host the evening show on 94.3 Radio 1, and me along with Fabian Sir getting you Politics for Dummies, where we understand politics then and now. We understand politics right and left. So what are you waiting for? Put on your headphones and strap on, because you are going to have a ride of your life. Welcome. Joining us today is Mr. Fabian. Okay, welcome back. A brand new episode with a brand new topic. This is Politics for Dummies with me, Fabian. And here I am, Aniket. And it rained very beautifully in Delhi a while ago. It was really pleasant. Fabian is in Delhi. I am in Delhi. Fabian, did you enjoy the rains?
Well, I enjoyed the rains because I was inside. But were I driving, I wouldn't have enjoyed it.
That's what it is. Whenever you are in the comforts of your own apartment or in the comforts of your own houses, it's very easy for you to go ahead and criticize, judge, or pass comments on things that are happening. If you are in India and if you're passing comments on what's happening in the Middle East, if you're passing comments between Israel and Palestine, well, learn before you can speak. And that's why we are here, Fabian and I, to talk about what's happening between Israel and Palestine. So, Fabian, let's start with this one important question. What exactly is happening? I'm a dummy. Explain it to me.
Well, I beg to differ about your dummyhood, but let me answer the question.
Yes.
What is happening is that Israel is bombing right and left. And civilian population, including women and children, and civilian installations like media offices, schools, hospitals, water and electricity infrastructure, these are being destroyed by Israeli bombing on the one hand. On the other hand, on the 10th of May, the Hamas, the ruling, political party, some people call them terrorists. I do not agree. They do commit terrorist acts, but that is a different matter. We can discuss more. But they are in charge of the administration of Gaza. Gaza is the largest open-air prison in history. You know, it's a strip of a land in the western part of Israel. Two sides Israel, one side the Mediterranean Sea, and one side Egypt. So this is the prison. So this Hamas has been sending rockets. They started it on the 10th of May. And then Israel has been retaliating, but it is more than retaliation. It is disproportionate, and human beings are getting killed. Now, if you permit me, I shall tell you why it is happening.
Yes.
Thank you. It is happening because Prime Minister Netanyahu, who has been holding the office of Prime Minister of Israel for 15 years, 1996 to 1999, and then from 2009 onwards. Okay?
Yeah.
So he has been holding that office for 15 years, and he has been running into political problems recently. Because he couldn't get a majority, he, what shall I say, arranged for four elections. Can you imagine? In a space of 2 years. Four elections in a space of 2 years. And in that last such election, the fourth election, once again, he has failed to get the majority.
Mm-hmm.
But the Knesset, that is the name of the Israeli parliament, has got 120 seats. And Netanyahu's party, Likud, it has got 30 seats.
Okay.
It is still the largest party. So the president asked him correctly to form a government and gave him 28 days. And he couldn't do that. And because he couldn't do that, he knows that there is a chance of his going to jail, because there are corruption and bribery charges against him, and the trial has been going on. The only thing is that if he continues in office, then he won't go to jail. So he figured out that he ran the risk of going into jail. So he started all this. In essence, that is the explanation of what is happening.
Oh, damn. Just so that he shouldn't go to jail, or he didn't want to go to jail, he started bombing an entire population which did nothing at this point of time. Is that right?
No, I wouldn't put it that way. What he did was that as he was failing to find majority support, he started humiliating the Palestinians. That is, let me give you a little bit of chronology, if you don't mind.
Yes, please.
6th of April this year, he was asked to form the government. And he was trying hard. He was not getting anywhere. On the 13th of April, remember, that was day one of the holy month of Ramadan for the Muslims.
Yeah.
And it was also the memorial day for Israel. Memorial day to honor those who sacrificed their lives for establishing Israel. What a coincidence, eh? Mm-hmm. What a pity. Anyway, on that day, while prayers were being said in the mosque, Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is one of the holiest shrines in Islam, the security forces entered the mosque and disabled the cables so that, you know, hundreds and more of worshippers standing outside the mosque cannot hear the prayers. You see? And in any case, the entry of the security forces into the mosque, well, it's not done. So the worshippers got, what shall I say, very upset. So that he did. Later, another day, he permitted a man called, I should give you his name, G-I-V-R. Difficult. But this man, you know, he's very extremist. So he took out a procession in Jerusalem with them chanting, death to Arabs, death to Arabs.
Okay.
So all these provocations were there. And in East Jerusalem, the Palestinians who have been staying there were going to be thrown out. So because of all this, you know, the Palestinians got humiliated. And then Mahmoud Abbas, who is sitting in the West Bank, was doing nothing about it. Okay? And don't forget that UAE and Saudi Arabia had protested the action of the security forces in the shrine. So then the Hamas sent out an ultimatum on the 10th of May. You better stop, you know, get out of the holy shrine and stop harassing Palestinians and gave a deadline of 6 p.m. And after the deadline expired, Hamas started sending the rockets. But Netanyahu had prepared very well his air force for bombing Gaza. And that has been continuing, as you know.
All right. Okay. So we've learned this. We've understood this. I should have kind of told people that this could be a little trigger warning. This could be a little triggering for a lot of people. So having said that, now let's move into this. What is the history between Israel and Palestine? Let's go back in time, a little history. What is the story?
Okay, now, very briefly, 1,000 years before our common era.
Yeah.
1,000 years before that, the Jews got Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Solomon, King Solomon, built the temple. Now, that temple was destroyed by the Babylonians in the 6th century before the common era.
Mm-hmm.
Then later the Romans came. They also destroyed the temple once again because the temple was rebuilt.
Okay.
Okay. And the Romans were there for a while. Then lots of Christians came. Jews started emigrating. Some of them came to Kerala, where I come from.
Yeah.
You know, in Cochin, you can find the Jews still. And of course, many of them went to Europe and elsewhere. Okay. Then the Muslims came. You're looking at, say, 7th century AD.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they became, you know, came in large numbers, but Christians continued. But after the Crusades, that is 1099 to 1293. Okay.
Okay.
After the Crusades, the Christians' numbers, their numbers came down, and Muslims became the majority. So since the 13th century, Muslims have been having the majority there. But then, I hope you don't mind my mentioning dates. In 1897, a man called Theodor Herzl, he was an Austro-Hungarian Jew. He convened a conference at Basel, Switzerland.
Okay.
And it was decided to have a Jewish state in Palestine. And he said, and very important to remember this, oh, if I tell people that Palestine, I have established a state for the Jews, people will laugh at me. But let me tell you, it will happen in the next 5 years or maximum 50 years. Now, he said in 1897, and as you know, Israel was established in 1948.
Yes.
47, 48. So it was 50 years, if you can do the calculation.
True.
Then what happened? The United Nations passed a resolution. That is why, you know, it was established. But the United Nations resolution had divided the territory between, you know, Israel and an Arab state. Okay? And then the Jews became very violent. And they got violent on the Palestinians in the area allotted to them. They ran away. Then the Jews also got more territory.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what happened in 47, 48 and all that. But then subsequently, I am compressing history. Subsequently, the Arabs started one or two wars against Israel.
Yeah.
And in 1967, Colonel Nasser, the great leader of Egypt, he started a war in June 1967, the so-called Six-Day War.
Yeah.
Well, Israel was very powerful and it defeated the Arab armies and captured a lot of territory, including Golan Heights in Syria, the West Bank, Gaza, and Jerusalem. What the Palestinians had became an occupied territory. There was a United Nations resolution, Security Council 242 in 1967, November, asking Israel to withdraw. Well, America voted for it. Israel, of course, was not a member of the Security Council.
Yeah.
Well, it has not been implemented because okay. Israelis have the support of the Americans.
Yeah, yeah. So just to put a umbrella or paint it with the same brush, can I say it is the Americans' fault at this point of time, the pre-1947 Americans' fault that they have been supporting this one place for such a long time? Can I say that?
No, I'll put it slightly differently. What happened was that President Truman was standing for election and he needed the support of the Jewish lobby in the United States. So Truman went out of his way to support Israel. But since he did it, it has been the consistent policy of America to support Israel. And that is why, if you notice, when Israel started bombing, President Biden justified it, not only supported it, he said Israel had the right to defend itself. Now, President Biden forgets that Palestinians also have the right to defend themselves. In fact, the Palestinians have the human rights, you know, right to life. That's the most basic human right, no? Now, President Biden did not recognize the human rights of the Palestinians. Now, I do not know whether it's because he does not consider them as human beings. I do not know. Somebody should ask him that.
True. Very true. Now, Fabian, coming to this one important question. This is where, whenever such a situation happens in any country, yeah, the leaders of other countries, including that same country, tend to have a very templatized approach. Why does this happen? Why do people forget that they're humans first? Why can't they stand up and speak?
Well, you see, as things stand, we are all dependent on the Americans, because don't forget that it is American weapons that Israel is using. Okay? So we depend on the Americans. And as I said, Biden, he started by defending again and again and again Israel's right to defend itself. Later, very recently, he has started changing his tune because he has come under attack from his own party. And also, if you noticed, you know, in Michigan, there is a big car factory, and he went there the other day to promote electric cars. And there was a huge demonstration against his policy in Michigan. 40,000 Arabs are staying in a place called Dearborn. And as I said, his own party leaders are opposing him. So he is slowly coming around to the view that this should stop. And he is now speaks of de-escalation leading to ceasefire. Now, this is the first time after about 8 to 9 days of bombing that he has uttered the word ceasefire. Now, the Security Council met at four times. It wanted to pass a resolution asking for a ceasefire, but, you know, America has a veto. So out of 15 members, one stood in the way. And that is why Security Council could not issue that.
So let's talk about the Security Council here for a moment. So the UNSC was made for this. Right after World War II, the United Nations was made so that, you know, you could go ahead and not have a situation that created, you know, such depression and such death and such misery. So why hasn't, like, is it America again that the United Nations can't do anything, or is it just Israel's stubbornness that they are not, you know, cease firing?
Thank you. Let me turn it around. When the Second World War, as the Second World War was ending, President Roosevelt took the initiative to have the United Nations, which includes, of course, the Security Council, which has the primary responsibility for saving succeeding generations from the scourge of war. I'm quoting from the charter, which twice in our generation, you know, has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But Roosevelt made a big mistake. He said, well, there is a global village and we need some policemen to keep order. So only the policemen should have the weapons, not the rest of the village folks. And he started with four policemen, United States, USSR, Soviet Union, UK, and China. China was not exactly free. There was civil war going on. But anyway, then what happened? Churchill, very clever. He said, why China? Okay, I will agree to China if you take in France. France was not yet free then. So France was included. So what happened? Any of these five, P5, can veto any resolution. That is, in the 15-member council, any resolution to be passed, it has to have the support of all the five members, permanent ones. You know, veto. Veto means I forbid. You know, it's a Latin. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, America can stand in the way. In the past, Soviet Union has stood in the way. In fact, we in India have benefited from the veto because when they wanted to pass resolutions on Jammu and Kashmir against our interest, Soviet Union stood with us. But the point I'm making is that, you know, he spoke of them, the policemen who will sort of, you know, make sure that there is peace. But suppose the policemen themselves commit offenses, then what happens? Yeah. If they break the law, what happens? Nothing. So his formula was wrong.
All right. That's understood. I hope everybody understands that this is something that is coming from a very, very twisted mind. And this is just a thought. Now, this is one last question, Fabian, so that we can wrap this episode up. The whole situation is treated very weirdly in media. Both parties, Israel and Palestine, are at equals, is what has been shown. And this pattern has been followed since years. Why is that? Is it because of state-run media houses, or is it because they don't want to show that the other party is human at all?
Well, two reasons. One is that I have great respect for journalists, but I'm afraid that we are witnessing so many things are happening in the world that the journalists do not have the time, and some of them do not have the inclination to sit down and study. Okay, so they speak of this Israel and Palestinian as though they were equal parties. Now let's look at the realities. I told you that Gaza is the largest open-air prison. Okay, now coming to the West Bank, we have got President Mahmoud Abbas. Now, frankly, between you and me, actually, he has only municipal powers. He's only a municipal chairman because he cannot move out without Israel's permission. Israel controls the air and everything. So Palestinians haven't got a state so far. They have been promised. Everybody speaks of the two-state solution, but nothing has been done. So this is something between two unequal parties. And as it has been said, you know, in history, what happens is that, you know, the strong do what they want and the meek has to suffer it.
True.
That's what is happening.
All right. I hope everybody understands this. Before we can wrap this up, let's put our final thoughts. My final thought is that, let's not paint the whole world or the whole community with the same brush. Let's not call every person who is related to Jews a terrorist. That is absolutely wrong. The same thing, not every Arab, not every Muslim, not every Islamist is a terrorist. Let's not do that. We can support the humans and we can support the right to live without being racist and anti-Semitic. We can always think about that. And that's about it. That's my final thought. What about you, Fabian? What's your final thought for this?
I agree with you. Let us not, you know, in fact, when I write, I normally write, you know, 200 human beings have been killed in Gaza. 10 human beings have been killed in Israel. Because don't forget, when people die, they don't take their passport to the next world.
Very true. Very brilliant. And that's it for today, guys. We'll see you next week with a brand new episode. You can always go ahead and check out the list of other episodes that we've done on Quad, prominent people in the history. We've spoken about politics in Russia. We've spoken about politics in America, the whole Trump-Biden situation that started off this entire podcast series. So check out all of those episodes. Give us your feedback on Instagram. Get in touch with us, and we'll see you in the next episode. Thank you so much, Fabian. I'll see you.
Thank you. See you soon.
This was a Radio 1 production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.